This is Jay Sekulow. Adam Schiff's reckless abuse of the U.S. Constitution.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, we've been spending this week talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., especially with Adam Schiff's committee, the Intelligence Committee, and what they're doing to the United States Constitution. Now, let me give you a step further. It's been a busy morning for me, as you can imagine, if you watch the news at all. It's been a busy day so far. And if you're seeing a tape delayed, I will assure you, by the time you're watching it, even if you're listening tonight, it'll have been a busy afternoon. Having said that, let me be very clear on something here. What is at stake? It's the United States Constitution. We said that what's happening with Adam Schiff and company is weaponizing the United States Constitution as it's being executed. And that is part of the problem here. But I just learned an interesting fact. Not only is Adam Schiff trying to weaponize the Constitution and basically shred it, Congresswoman Tlaib has decided that trials are not necessary. Let's just start holding people that don't comply with their request for production of documents or subpoena in jail. Harry, what is the latest on that?
Well, Representative Tlaib told her Detroit constituents on Tuesday that Democratic lawmakers are focused on how best to take cabinet members into custody. This is the first time, she said, we've ever had a situation like this. So we're trying to figure out, no joke, is it the D.C. police that goes and gets them? We don't know. Where do we hold them? And so apparently Rashida Tlaib is willing to shred the Constitution as well. She doesn't realize that the legislative branch does not hold executive power, but apparently she's confused.
But what she wants to do, though, is she's trying to figure out where to hold these people, and she doesn't think trials are necessary. Just go ahead and arrest them. Let me tell you what they're ignoring here. They're ignoring the protections that exist to all individuals, for instance, attorney-client privilege, or to a president in particular, executive privilege. I want to know what your reaction to all of this is. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Remember when Nancy Pelosi said that when Adam Schiff, when he engaged in that parody event of his, she said that was the actual words of the president. Do we have that bite available? I want to get that bite available because listen to this. You remember what Adam Schiff did? Actually, I think because we're starting the end of the week here, we're getting ready for the week, and let's play the Adam Schiff parody first to recap the week.
This is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country, very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it, on this and on that. I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him, trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked. This is, in sum and character, what the president was trying to communicate with the president of Ukraine. It would be funny if it wasn't such a graphic betrayal of the president's oath of office.
It would be funny, except that's not what the president said. But Nancy Pelosi, I'm not going to bother playing this again. Nancy Pelosi said those were his words. George Stephanopoulos said, no, those were not his words. Those were the words of Adam Schiff. That's just one. Now they're telling Rudy Giuliani, violate your attorney-client privilege. Our phone lines are jammed at 800-684-3110. Than, I want you to give me a 20-second scenario where we are right now with all the hype in Washington.
They're freewheeling, Jay. It's all over the board. There are no rules that are being governed by. Right. This is impeachment by irregularity, Jay.
Impeachment by irregularity. Without due process. A lot of questions coming about letters might be coming out of the president's lawyers or the White House. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the situation with Ukraine. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To the broadcast, everyone, taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. You know, there's all this discussion about these text messages that came out today and that were released last night. And the one that's being ignored, of course, is the one where the our EU ambassador says, the president has been crystal clear, no quid pro quos of any kind. The president is trying to evaluate whether Ukraine is truly going to adopt the transparency and reform that President Zelensky promised during his campaign. I suggest we stop the back and forth by these texts, and it goes on and on. And if you still have concerns, I recommend you give it to the appropriate people at the State Department. But very, very clear there that it was, and I think it's important for everybody to understand, that was our EU ambassador. There was no quid pro quo. Of course, we've since then we've seen the, obviously since these texts, we have actually seen the transcript, and there was no quid pro quo there. But there has been an issue with Ukraine, and that issue with Ukraine has been issues of transparency. Let me go to Wes Smith, who's our senior military analyst, knows a lot about this area of policy and law and military issues and corruption issues. Was there a legal basis? I mean, certainly there was a legal basis for the president to say, hold on here, we got some issues we got to resolve, including whether they are the corruption issues are significant here. What, and I want to put this in the right context. You've got a piece up at aclj.org dealing with this. What's the substance of that piece?
Yeah, a context is so very, very important, Jay. And the context of all of this issue, where the president was in actuality exercising due diligence, not only according to the Constitution, but according to his responsibilities as the commander-in-chief, Ukraine had been rife with corruption. Their previous administration had been accused of secretly actually cooperating with the Russian government. There was supposedly some interference, perhaps not only from the Russians in our elections, but the Ukrainians. So this is the background. President Obama would not give them lethal military aid. Earlier this year, Congress voted a package in. They gave them, combining the Department of Defense and the State Department, almost $400 million in aid. President Trump simply did not suspend it. He halted the aid. He did not give that to them immediately because of two things. President Zelensky was inaugurated in May in Ukraine.
Right.
The president said he wanted to do two things, and it's so prudent and it makes so much sense in light of the background. He wanted to establish a personal relationship with the new president and basically wanted to do with Ukraine what Reagan did with the Russians, and that is Zelensky ran, I'm going to clean up the corruption. We're going to get rid of the swamp, as he called it. And the president wanted to make sure that this was actually happening before we give them $400 million in aid.
So this was a prudent thing to do.
prudent thing that any president would do.
And other presidents have done, actually.
Yes, and, yeah. And the reason that President Obama partly would not give them aid was because of the corruption. Well, simply because they elect a new president in May doesn't mean that the corruption is gone. The president really wanted to make sure that Zelensky was going to turn over a new leaf in the country of Ukraine before we give them lethal aid. And we have since, you know, authorized that aid to go forward. But their background was a lot of corruption, and the president was actually exercising due diligence that we want to make sure that this is a new chapter in Ukraine's political life before we go forward with this.
By the way, this article is up at aclj.org by Colonel Smith, and I really encourage you to review it because this gives you context. Now, Than, you said something during the break that I want to focus in on here. We're taking your calls as well at 800-684-3110, and that is an impeachment inquiry or whatever you want to call this charade they're pulling off right now without rules or policies and procedures. And clearly there's not. I mean, right now we don't get to, I, as one of the president's lawyers, we don't get to ask witnesses questions. The minority can't subpoena witnesses. Yesterday when they had a witness interview, minority could not ask questions. I mean, this is absurd. And that's why I said what he's doing in the Constitution here is absurd. But you're saying that they're going to do this as long as they can because they don't, I know they don't really want to call a vote anytime soon because too many of their colleagues are in swing districts where they just don't want to do that. Because if they wanted to, they could have done it, and they haven't done it yet.
Well, if you put rules and procedures around it, Jay, and give the minority to ask questions, things like the evidence you just read where the text message clearly says that the president was not inclined to do that would be a part of the record, would be a part of the narrative. And, Jay, that evidence doesn't fit their narrative. So in order to keep that evidence out, they have to keep operating without rules or procedures. The thing that would fix that, Jay, is a vote on the floor of the House. And we've said this from the very beginning. This happened with previous presidential impeachments. And there's a couple of reasons why it would do that, Jay. First of all, it would make people who are actually accountable to voters have to go down and put their name on the line for what they're doing. Right now, they don't have to do it. The second thing it would do, Jay, is set up a formal procedure with those types of rules that Adam Schiff and Speaker Pelosi and the others would not be able to deviate from. So the minority would have subpoena power. They would be able to question witnesses. And all of the evidence would come to the fore, Jay. So look, I think they're going to try to do as much of this as they can without setting up that procedure. And then if they do vote, Jay, they may just move straight to articles and not ever set up that process. So it might be a kangaroo court from the beginning all the way till they take their final vote. And the American people need to know that. Previous efforts, Jay, have taken two votes in the House. This one might only take one.
Yeah. So here's what you've got, though. I mean, Harry Hutchinson said this earlier in the week, and as we're here at the end of the week, I think it's important to reiterate this. This is weaponizing the exercise of the Constitution. And of course, they're following no constitutional norms, no policies and procedures that make any sense here. But they are weaponizing the execution of the Constitution. Harry, I look at the events now in the last 24 hours. You had a witness that testifies, no questions from the minority. This would not take, that's like third world practice.
Absolutely. So I think it's very, very clear by way of background to note that every single thing that the president did, including the entire context of the transcript of the phone call, between President Trump and the Ukrainian president were well within the president's constitutional powers within the meaning of Article 2 of the United States Constitution.
No question, yep.
So he has an obligation to take care that the laws are faithfully executed, in the United States, and he also has an obligation to make sure that the United States complies with our mutual obligation with Ukraine pursuant to our treaty obligations. And so it's important to note that in the year 2000, the United States Senate ratified a mutual assistance treaty between the Ukraine and the United States. And so everything that President Trump did with respect to his conversation with the Ukrainian president is consistent with his power within the meaning of the Constitution. Nonetheless, the Democrats are attempting to essentially criminalize the president's constitutional exercise of his powers. And I think you're holding up.
Yeah, I've got the Ukraine. I'm holding it here because what Harry said is absolutely correct. I'm holding this is the treaty. It's treaty with Ukraine on mutual assistance in criminal matters. So this is the document. So if you take what Wes said and what Harry just said, and then we'll throw Than's policy and procedural analysis into this charade that's going on right now. The president had the constitutional authority to get this investigation going, to find out, to uncover corruption. And as far as holding aid back, I think what Wes said is absolutely correct. The president was well within his authority in light of the situation, because you make these decisions based on the situation on the ground as it exists. Now, let me say this also, and I think then this goes back to your end. I look at what's happening right now and the lack of rules and procedures, and I believe that's on purpose. And that's why there's all this discussion going on about what letters the White House or the president's private lawyers may send to Adam Schiff on this, and there's a whole host of issues that could be raised, due process and other things. I'm not going to get into the specifics of the letter. I just want to say this, that to me, the lack of structure and the unwillingness to put structure in place shows also a lack of fortitude for them to actually do this right now. I know you disagree with me that they ultimately may do it, but they sure don't want to do it right now, because they could have put this in place and they did not, or they could have done it before they left. And remember, there was going to be this whole dramatic thing of them possibly coming back in because of all this. I think they've gone out into the districts and find out nobody really is buying any of this.
I think that's correct. I agree with you on that point, Jay. There's an old saying in Washington, D.C. that when you have the vote, you take the vote. And I think if Nancy Pelosi had the votes at any time, she would have taken it. Now, I do think they've already sort of cast a political die here that's going to be hard for them to walk back from. But look, on this process point, Jay, there's a very clear reason why they are not setting parameters. Is because the evidence that they have, Jay, it can't stand up against the scrutiny of a typical, normal process. If there had to be cross-examination, if you had to put all the evidence out, if you had to put the Article II powers that the president has, and by the way, also the conditions of Appropriations Act, that yes, Congress has a power of the purse, Jay, but there are always conditions that the administration has to check, things like he checked in this case. All of those things, Jay, they cannot stand up to the scrutiny of a regular process, so I predict they're going to continue with an irregular process until they take that final vote.
I think you're 100% correct. I mean, they don't want to let me, my colleagues, do the cross-examination of witnesses. They don't want to let the House members cross-examine or call witnesses. So they're going to drag this out as long as they can and try to do something, you know, but maybe they try to do something before the end of the year. I'm ready for that trial if they do it. I feel very confident in the United States Senate. We win. The House of Representatives, I think right now, they're making a mockery of themselves. Let me do say this, though, that for our listeners in Southern California, our friends of our family, the Secular family, Butch and Julianne Hartman, have a new radio show launching. It's called Vision Possible this Sunday at 1 p.m. on KRLA 870 AM. The Hartman started their business on a napkin drawing and grew it to a multi-million dollar empire. They are good friends of ours. You should listen to the program. It's on KRLA, debuts on Sunday, AM 870, The Answer, and you can get that streaming as well. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Friday, everybody. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage those on Facebook and Periscope. If you would do me a favor, and I've got an announcement to make on a case we're involved in. So if you could share this feed with your friends right now, I would appreciate that. We're going to give you an update on a major case. So if you're on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, or any other social media platform, you may be seeing us, or on ACLJ.org. Really important if you could share it with your friends right now. I'm going to give you this brief update, but it is the first day, was yesterday, of the trial in a case against Planned Parenthood, or Planned Parenthood, actually a case they brought against clients we represent. This involves, of course, those undercover videos that were so effective in disclosing what the Planned Parenthood affiliates were doing with the sale of body parts. You remember that from a couple of years ago. Well, Planned Parenthood has sued our client. We are defending him in federal court. That may take upwards of 6 weeks. So we're talking about a long period of time. Opening statements took place yesterday, and the first witness for Planned Parenthood took the stand yesterday. The judge, this was interesting what the judge said. The judge said, I want to emphasize what this case is not about. And he repeatedly pushed attorneys, and that includes, of course, our lawyers as well, away from the broader political issues surrounding abortion. He said the trial is, quote, not about the truth of whether plaintiffs profited from the sale of fetal tissue or otherwise violated the law in securing tissue for those programs. It's not about whether any plaintiff actually engaged in illegal conduct. And he says those are issues that are a matter of dispute between the parties in the world outside this courtroom. But of course, outside the courtroom, that is exactly what the issue is. Inside the courtroom, the judge has made a determination that he does not want to see evidence presented on those other issues. Planned Parenthood's lead lawyer said in her opening remarks that the defendants, that includes our clients, this is what she's alleged, had a plan to, quote, use any means, including illegal means, to try to destroy Planned Parenthood. Our counter, of course, our defense lawyer said that there was, these undercover videos were done in public places. There was no what's called expectation of privacy, and therefore no violation of the law. This is day one of a trial that may well go for 6 weeks. It comes on the heels of the Supreme Court granting review yesterday in the case of G versus Planned Parenthood of the Gulf Coast. This regards the issue of doctors' admission privileges being required before an abortion can be performed at a facility. So all of this happening, and I wanted to just take a couple of minutes. We will have regular updates at ACLJ.org. So while we're talking about all the issues going in Washington, we have to remember that right now we've got major issues here in around the country that the American Center for Law and Justice is engaged in at ACLJ.org. I want to go right to Mary Ellen. She's calling from Illinois. By the way, I'm taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Mary Ellen, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Jay.
Hey.
When you aired what Tlaib said, it's like immediately I'm thinking totalitarian government, KGB style of tactics that she would even be thinking about. It's an outrage.
All right, so let me give you a for instance here. Let me play for you actually what Representative Tlaib actually said, and then we'll break this down for you. Here we go.
So they're trying to figure out, no joke, they're trying to figure out, well, is it the D.C. police that goes and gets them? No. Where do we hold them? I mean, this is the kind of, like, I'm not in those kinds of conversations, but I'm asking, like, you know, what happens? And they're like, well, Rashida, we're trying to figure it out ourselves because this is uncharted territory.
So let's listen to what, let's break down what you just said. So we're trying to figure out, no joke, they're trying to figure out, is it the D.C. police that goes and gets them? So who's the, Fan, you worked on Capitol Hill for 20 years, you still do, of course, but you worked on the Hill as a member of a congressional staff, as a senior member of a congressional staff. So what does that even mean when they said, go get them? Is it the D.C. police or who is it? What is she talking about so people know?
She doesn't know what she's talking about, Jay. I mean, look, there is a provision where someone being held in contempt of Congress could theoretically be held not by the D.C. police, by the sergeant at arms until a dispute was adjudicated. But, Jay, that includes due process. Members of Congress can't just go arbitrarily detain admin officials because they don't get information they want. But let me tell you this, Jay. She's not alone. Just in case people think Rashida Tlaib is all out on an island on this, let me read for you one line of a tweet from Maxine Rodgers from earlier this week. She said, "Impeachment is not good enough for Trump. He needs to be imprisoned and placed in solitary confinement. But for now, impeachment's the imperative." Jay, Rashida Tlaib not alone. This is a pretty common strain among the caucus right now.
Harry, a complete violation of due process. And this, by the way, Harry and I were talking about this during the break. They're not going to give us due process here to actually question witnesses and put this forward, even if they did vote to have articles of impeachment brought to the floor of the House for a proceeding. They are not. I mean, we'll insist if they do it, but they're right now their plan is don't do it. You could tell by the way they're putting the rules out. I mean, Jerry Nadler's ruled in the Judiciary Committee. Remember the Judiciary Committee? It's like, who are they? People have forgotten. But they're not going to let us file due process here. They don't want that.
The Dems do not believe in due process unless due process favors their argument. Increasingly, I think it's clear that the Democrats believe in conviction without trial. That is the approach that they are prepared to take. They are prepared to criminalize and to shred the Constitution. They really don't care. It's really all about power. It's not about principle. And that is the approach taken by many cognitive elites. And the Democratic Party has been captured by cognitive elites who believe that the Constitution is insufficiently nuanced for their approach to taking power.
I'll tell you this. I think that what we've got here is an attempted, we've had all these like soft coups, I call them. I think Congress, in a sense, Wes, is doing the same thing, because rather than letting, for instance, when a witness came forward yesterday, letting that witness be cross-examined by the minority party, they just decided no.
Yeah. You go back and look at the impeachment inquiries with Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton. First of all, it was bipartisan. Members of the opposing party actually voted for the inquiry. But not only that, both sides were able to issue subpoenas. Both sides were able to call witnesses and cross-examine witnesses. It was truly a search for the truth. And that is what is lacking in this whole farce. There is no search for truth. It is a political game, a very serious game, but a political game nonetheless. If it were not so serious, it would be laughable the way they're going about this.
I'll tell you this. I think that you've got to understand exactly the nature and scope of what's going on here. This is a charade being played on the American people. That's what this is. Mike's calling from Texas. Mike, well, I'll tell you what. Let's hold Mike. Mike, we're going to hold you. We're going to get you as the top caller next half hour. We've got two lines open, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, more calls. Again, share this with your friends. We encourage you to do it. Got some interesting analysis I want to give you on my take of where all of this is going. There's a lot of discussion about this White House letter, and I want to see if I can put some perspective on why that may be appropriate. May not be. We may not. No decisions have been made right now. But we'll talk about how that may develop, what the concern is. And bottom line, what the concern is relates to the Constitution, which we think is being shredded in this entire process. I do want to say again, we had our first day of the hearing in the U.S. District Court in the Northern District of California. That's San Francisco, in the case brought by Planned Parenthood. We're defending an individual in that case that was, again, this is what you're dealing with. These were the undercover videos, so it made a lot of news at the time. That case could go on for 6 weeks. We've got three lawyers of our team out there, plus the local lawyer, four lawyers working the case, as well as other lawyers assisting back in their offices. That's going to do it for the first half hour. Go to aclj.org for more information. Make sure you're getting our email alerts. Also, ACLJ, not only aclj.org, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ, to follow us on our social media platforms, including now Instagram. We'll be back with your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Those on Facebook and Periscope, I've got something to break to you. Share it with your friends. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. So what we've got is, as we look at the week in review here, I want to put a perspective on all of this. My sense is what has happened is Adam Schiff has been made to look foolish, childish, and is in the process disregarding the Constitution. He did that charade parody thing that he did when he had the transcript from the president. He didn't use it. He made up that other statement. Nancy Pelosi then says, I thought that was his actual statement. In fact, I didn't play it in the first half hour. I'm going to play it now. This is George Stephanopoulos talking to Nancy Pelosi about the statement that Adam Schiff made up at the hearing.
I know you support Chairman Schiff, but was it right for him to have that dramatic interpretation of the president's transfer of the phone call at the hearing last week?
I want the American people to know what that phone call was about. I want them to hear it. So, yeah, it's fair. It's sad. But it's using the president's own words. So if he's...
Those weren't the president's words. It was an interpretation of the president's words. They're saying he made this up.
He did not make it up.
Huh. Well, he did make it up. And George Stephanopoulos called her out on that. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. Mike is calling from Texas. I told you, Mike, I appreciate you hanging in. We're going to send you Jordan's new book, The Next Red Wave. So we encourage you to hang on the line when we're done with this conversation. We're going to send you a signed copy of Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave. Go ahead and go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, thanks, Jay.
Sure.
I just heard that Nancy Pelosi thing. It's like she doesn't even know what's going on. But my question is, what can the Senate do to force the House to hold a legitimate inquiry?
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to go to Than Bennett on that. So, you know, the Senate is the actual, you know, one that the only one that could do removal from office, in other words, convict on impeachment, is the United States Senate. So what is the interplay, Than, as you see it, between the House and the Senate?
It's actually a very timely question by the caller, Jay, because while I don't know you're going to see many senators prejudge the case, they might feel like they need to stay silent on it. This issue about whether or not the House should vote, Jay, I think you are going to see senators start to speak on it. And in fact, just minutes ago, a senator who was a member of the House when the Clinton impeachment vote happened, Senator Lindsey Graham, he actually voted to open that inquiry. So he knows what he's talking about. He had to take two votes during that process. He just put out a statement that said, Democratic House members cannot be allowed to hide behind Speaker Nancy Pelosi when it comes to an impeachment inquiry of President Trump. They should and must vote to open an inquiry of impeachment so their constituents, country, and history can evaluate their actions. Jay, I think that's the appropriate tone.
Yep.
Look, the House might have some latitude here, but the people who voted them into office need to know where they stand. They need to vote.
No, I think that's 100% correct. And my sentiment is exactly that. And part of the context of this letter, that's part of the discussion that's going on with this letter. By the way, there's no decision right now, that letter going out today or over the weekend. That's the White House counsel. That's not the private counsel, the president's lawyers. That's the White House counsel because of the institutional interests at stake for the office of the presidency. But I think I think they are hiding behind this, what I would call cacophony of just disorganization and using it as an excuse.
Absolutely. So I think all of the guardrails with respect to maintaining and sustaining the constitutional republic have come off. And the House impeachment inquiry, if we can call it that, is basically jumbled. It's illogical. And in essence, at the end of the day, if it is grounded in the phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky, it is grounded in essentially attempting to criminalize the president's exercise of his constitutional authority. And I think the American people need to become heavily engaged in this, and they need to understand that there is no factual or legal predicate for the House inquiry, and they ought to uprise and let their representatives know what their opinion is of Congress.
Lindsey Graham calls it a John Hancock moment. They need to sign on the dotted line, House Democrats, before moving forward on impeachment. It's past time for House Democrats to put their names on the line as supporting or opposing an impeachment inquiry. That's from Senator Lindsey Graham. We're going to take your calls and comments when we come back from the break. 800-684-3110. As always, share it with your friends on your social media feeds. Get more people involved in the conversation. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Coming out of this break, that we talked a lot about this whole parody thing. Now we've got the situation where Adam Schiff said initially, and I'm going to get ready to play this, that he had not spoken with. I want to put the whole little discussion there where he's asked the questions about, did he talk to the whistleblower? And he, of course, his answer ends up being no. But I want you to hear his own words. And then we have, of course, knowledge that they did, in fact, do that. So take a listen.
Have you heard from the whistleblower? Do you want to hear from the whistleblower? What protections could you provide to the whistleblower? And then you also said that the DNI is refusing to turn over this stuff, citing a request from a higher authority. The insinuation left, at least for me and others, was that the president himself had intervened. Is that the insinuation you sought to provide? And if so, what basis do you have for making that insinuation?
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised, as the law requires, by the Inspector General or the Director of National Intelligence, just as to how he is to communicate with Congress.
That ended up being, of course, completely false. So they had discussed it with the whistleblower before the whistleblower complaint was even filed. The complaint was filed on August 12th. Apparently, the conversation took place shortly before then, around, we're guessing a little bit here, August 8th, 10th, 11th, right in there. So this idea, Harry, that get Harry and West comment on this, and then Dan as well. But this idea that the whistleblower, that no conversation took place with the whistleblower, and then Adam Schiff has let people know through the grapevine that he, you know, kind of wishes he didn't say that. But Harry, what's your read of that? I mean, this is another one of these false statements coming out of Adam Schiff, who's the chairman of this committee.
It's important to note that the Washington Post has labeled Adam Schiff's statement with four Pinocchios, meaning that it is clear beyond question, at least according to the Washington Post, and I think according to most observers.
New York Times, it was Mike Schmidt that broke that story. Go ahead.
That Adam Schiff was indeed lying. And so there are a number of questions for Adam Schiff, including why did he falsify the president's statement during the committee hearing? Why did he lie in a September the 17th MSNBC conversation about whether or not he had been provided an early warning about the whistleblower complaint? Why did he deliberately withhold information about this contact from both the public and from members of the House Intel Committee? Why did he charge the White House with a cover-up of a complaint that he already knew about?
Right. And then the White House released the complaint and the transcript of the conversation. So no cover-up.
And it's very, very possible, given what we now know, that Adam Schiff and or his aides perhaps participated in writing the complaint, or at least in encouraging the complaint to be drafted by a lawyer, as opposed to being drafted directly by the whistleblower.
Well, it looks like a legal document, and whether who drafted it or not, we know. Well, I guess we'll find out. Well, I guess we won't find out because we're never going to be able to ask. That's another aspect of this.
Yes.
So they're going to put up as a potential article of impeachment the whistleblower situation, except nobody can talk to the whistleblower and you can't cross-examine the whistleblower. But that may be a basis for an article of impeachment. What's your read of that?
How convenient for them.
Yeah, you right.
Know, yeah, what is lacking in this whole goat rope, as we call it in the military? What is lacking is integrity and honesty. And the American people know that at a deep level. They know that this is a sham exercise that is blatantly political and categorically unfair, with the minority party being silenced. And think about it, the will of the American people being suppressed. Impeachment is one of the most serious, serious responsibilities of Congress, because what an impeachment does, it overturns an election.
Exactly
this
right.
It's an insult to the American people, and it is a perversion of the Constitution.
Darlene on Facebook says, it seems like Adam Schiff has trouble with the truth. Yeah, apparently, that seems to be the case. All right, we got a call coming from Florida. Pat on line 4. Pat, welcome to the broadcast. Where are you calling from, Florida?
Dunedin, Florida. It's on the West Coast, Jay.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, very nice. All right, Pat, go ahead.
Thank you guys for everything you do, by the way. But real quickly, I don't want to use up a lot of time, but I have a concern as an American citizen. Who's protecting my rights if I elect an official in the House, and then that official can't cross-examine a witness that I elected as the President of the United States? Who out there is looking for our rights? Because as long as these guys continue to do what they do, they're just going to do it until somebody stops them and says, that's enough, and here's what we're going to do.
Well, in our view, who protects you, or what protects you, is the United States Constitution. And that's why, as lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice that defend the Constitution, or in this case also as the president's private counsel of the president, we're not going to let them just run over the Constitution, Than. I mean, this is part of what happens. You don't get to just run roughshod over the United States Constitution. Harry correctly said that it was weaponizing the Constitution, but they're also running roughshod over it as if it doesn't exist as a document that provides parameters. None of that seems to be a play right now, and we are not going to take that lying down. So I want to tell Pat, we're fighting back. Believe me. Go ahead, Than.
Well, the caller makes a great point, and ultimately the American voter does have the power to change their officials, but you know, maybe his official is not playing by these rules. Jay, that's why Rule 14 of the Intelligence Committee says that information that comes in has to be shared with all members of the committee. That's why Adam Schiff did not want to admit that he'd had contact, because he didn't want to have to share it and make sure there was accountability. And Jay, you know, I think this sounds an awful lot like Lois Lerner's moment when she got caught and she said, oh, that wasn't the truth. I'd like to apologize for it. Jay, they don't do it right the first time around, and then they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar, they apologize and say, whoops, I made a mistake.
Yeah, I want to play just as a fun flashback on a Friday. Flashback Friday. Lois Lerner, 200 years ago, no, May 10th, 2013, in case we took it to the IRS, and by the way, when Pat asked who was protecting you, we were at the American Center for Law and Justice. We took them all to court, and we won, both in the District Court in Washington and Ohio. Take a listen to Lois Lerner. Remember the apology?
They used names like Tea Party or Patriots, and they selected cases simply because the application had those names in the title. That was wrong. The IRS would like to apologize for that.
I mean, just to let that sink in for a moment. Could you imagine going, do you have your receipts for your business deductions? No, I lost them. I'd like to apologize for that. I mean, no. So this is, and we took them to the task and we won, and this is the same nonsense. So Adam Schiff's been caught twice. I'm sure there'll be a third, I'm sure we'll be a third time. But right now, I'm not so sure they're going to let him. I'm wondering, Than, how this all ends up playing out, because it's looking, if you look at it outside the Beltway for just a moment, it looks like they do not have, to say they don't have their act together is being kind.
Yeah, well, he had to say himself, that was wrong. I would like to apologize for it. But, Jay, if they do strip it from his committee, it would be the second time they did that. I mean, these kind of inquiries typically go through the House Judiciary Committee, and Chairman Nadler was bungling it in their view.
Right.
So they stripped it from him. They gave it to Adam Schiff. Who's next, Jay? Who's the next chairman that wants it? Maybe Maxine Waters, who wants to put President Trump in solitary confinement, maybe they can give it to her next.
Well, they could form a special committee with Congresswoman Tlaib, and they could start arresting people by the D.C. police. Isn't that what they said? They want the Capitol Hill police, the D.C. police, and throw them in the brig. There you go, Wes. I'm throwing a little military term out for you. All right, let's go to Elaine's calling from Ohio on line one. Elaine, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Hey. I've been following you since 2002, and great. I'm so grateful for the work that all of you are doing.
Thanks.
I just wanted to let you know, from flyover country in Ohio, this is not playing well. I live in the most Democrat county in the state of Ohio, and people are actually putting out their Pence-Trump signs because they're so fed up with what is going on. They are still making the same mistake that they made in 2016. They think we're too stupid to follow the issues. We have other sources to get our news, which I do. I go to about five sources on the internet to evaluate the news. And they are going to make the same mistake in 2020. The people that we're talking to are extremely angry, disgusted.
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct. You know, Than, it's an interesting thing here. There was some talk, at least some speculation, that they were going to go to recess and then dramatically, that was going to be that press conference last week, or this week rather. It was going to be, you know, there's a huge press conference and with Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, and the thought was, what's she going to say? We're calling Congress back, calling the House back for a special session. And ends up the New York Times, through Mike Schmidt and other colleagues of his, end up writing a report saying, whoops, Adam Schiff actually did have knowledge of the whistleblower before, and even though he denied that he did, and ends up being a press conference about nothing. Was there this sense that there was going to be this dramatic moment that went and kind of fizzled away?
Yeah, I think there was the sense, Jay. I think there was a very high possibility of that, but they couldn't do it when the news of the day was that the narrative put out by Adam Schiff was not correct. And in fact, when the evidence that he was reading into the account, Jay, wasn't the evidence. Evidence that the president had put out in plain view. And I would just say this to Elaine. Go ahead and continue to read the evidence. Look at the actual information, and you can decide for yourself. I agree with her on this point, though, too, Jay. I think 2020 is going to be a world of hurt for House Democrats, especially if they continue to carry on in this way.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think Than's 100% correct. All right, we're taking a break. Last segment coming up, we take your calls on these topics. 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we are in court right now, today, in U.S. District Court, Northern District of California, Planned Parenthood, bringing in charge against our clients for their undercover operations that showed the fetal body part sales, which made a lot of national news when it happened. The judge said the case isn't about that, though, and the case is whether, and of course our lawyers are saying, and we've got a team of ACLJ lawyers out there, three, actually, and a fourth with our local counsel, that are saying, no, wait a minute, these people were in public places. There was no expectation of privacy. They were bragging about what they were doing. So it's going to be a very interesting trial. Could go on for 6 weeks. We'll have more details on that on Monday's broadcast. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110. Facebook and Periscope got a little surprise for you. Here we go.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. You know, we're thinking next week, this was Will and I were just talking about this, our producer. So we've got about four or five songs that Jay Sekulow Band did that are really topically relevant. Of course, the song that was an original of our band's, Undemocratic. Of course, this one we just put out, Heard It Through the Grapevine. We also have Mother Freedom, which is the Bread classic tune, which has got some great lines in it. I think, you know, another one would be good, Fooling Yourself. So I think what we're going to do is maybe get our team... for next week, maybe midweek we do it, and we'll put it all together. Maybe it's five or six songs, and we'll broadcast it on Facebook and all the various social media platforms, you know, either at night or during the day, and have fun with it. Just, we already got the songs done. It's just putting it together as a fun package, and I think we're going to do that. That'll be fun. And I think Fooling Yourself would fit right in there, too. All right, we're taking your calls. I want to go right, this is a very interesting call coming in on line three, Demetrio from Washington State. Demetrio, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good.
Thank you very much, you guys, for
Thanks.
Much work that you do for our country. It's unbelievable. But long story short, I live in the United States for 15 years now. We immigrated from Ukraine. Waited in line for 15 years to legally come, and thankful to this God, to God, and to the country for the opportunity to be here and be part of this country. But I want to say that, yes, unfortunately, Ukraine is corrupt to the core. Unfortunately, that was primarily the reason we left. And I totally understand our president why he was withholding to double-check, triple-check, quadruple-check, you know, everything before he loses his mind. Because, unfortunately, there's so much corruption. I really hope that President Zelensky, he's going to actually achieve what he promised. Our president does such a great job. You know, he achieved so much within only 3 years. And with so much resistance, you know. So,
and
I'm Demetrio, very
I really appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate your perspective because you lived in Ukraine. But Harry Hutchinson has a very interesting statistic.
Yes. So, according to news reports that I listened to yesterday, up to 2 million Ukrainians who have immigrated to Poland left the Ukraine, I'm told. Why? Because of corruption in the Ukraine. So I think it is important to put that in context with the president's phone call and with the request to the Ukrainian government to crack down on the rampant corruption in Ukraine. Because if we continue to give military aid and assistance to a corrupt government, it will A, be ineffective, and it will continue to prop up corruption.
So let me ask you this, Wes. You mentioned this at the beginning of the broadcast. I think it's worth quickly bringing up again. And that is, you have an article up at ACLJ.org dealing with exactly this issue of Ukrainian corruption and withholding of funds.
Yeah, I mean, it was prudent on the president's part. He temporarily withheld funds for essentially the same reason that President Obama refused to give them lethal military aid, and that is because of the corruption. Ukraine is a country that's still trying to find its place in the world after being part of the now-collapsed Soviet Union. And I believe President Zelensky is trying to make good on his promises. Yep. But it was so, so prudent for the president, first of all, to try and establish a relationship with Ukraine's new president, and then to make sure that he is going to do what he promised, and that is to clean up Ukraine, to eliminate the corruption, to drain the swamp is the phrase that the Ukrainian president used. And then we help them. They're an important ally in that part of the world, but they are in the process of turning over a new leaf, and it was so important that the president verify that.
All right, we've got, let me go to Carolyn, who's calling from line five. Carolyn, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thanks. I have a two-part question. The first part is, okay, so they've been ignoring due diligence all of this time in the House. If they did have a vote, would and they voted for impeachment, would the Senate even have to pay attention to this at all because of their ignorance of the process? And would the Supreme Court ever step in because of this?
Well, let me tell you this. So there's a couple of issues there. I'm going to go to Than on this, and because we're talking procedure. So the House can have a hearing for their impeachment, you know, voting on articles of impeachment if they did that. Then the question is, what is the role of the defense? What would be my role as a defense lawyer for the president? Some of my colleagues, would we be able to examine witnesses? Do we even show up for it? Or if they say no, you can submit. I think right now under the Judiciary Committee rules, they're saying we can maybe submit written questions or something, which is really kind of absurd. So there's a question whether we even would participate. And let's say they voted out, because I think it's such a charade. So then it goes to the Senate. And the Senate, we can make, look, technically, the Senate could, we can make a motion to dismiss. Say, look, this is the basis upon which they did it. It doesn't justify it. We could have a hearing, and the Senate rules would allow us to then, I would think, appropriate due process, because their managers, the congressmen, come over and make the presentation thing. Walk people through that. I think it's important.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, the point you just explained, Jay, is why it's so critically damaging that they skipped this first vote, because that process that would be taking place on the committee level would afford you and then others from the minority the chance to question witnesses. They skipped that. So if they go, as I predict they will, strictly to invoking articles of impeachment, they will have essentially skipped all of that process. But then, yes, the House would appoint what they call managers who actually walk the articles of impeachment over to the Senate, and they are privileged on the Senate floor, so they would have to come up immediately. But, Jay, that's where I have a lot more confidence that the Senate would have actual process. Now, it might be very quick. They might just take up a motion to dismiss if they think that the House has not adequately completed the process, so that could be very quick. But if they did refer it to a committee, Jay, that's where I do trust the process. That's where I think both sides would have the opportunity to engage, and legal defendants or legal representatives for each of the people involved. So the House might skip all of that process, Jay, and it is privilege when it comes over the Senate, but there would be real process there if they don't dismiss it quickly.
Yeah, and I would move to dismiss it quickly. Bruce is calling from California, line six. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. My question is, we've gone through this before with Peter Strzok and James Comey, yet no criminal charges ever taken against them. What's it going to take to get,
hold it. I want to be fair here. We don't know the scope and nature of what John Durham's investigating right now. So, Bruce, I'm go ahead, finish up your question. I think I know where it's going, but we don't know where that's going. So we don't know. Listen, this is not over yet. But, not even, I think, barely begun.
Oh, okay. Well, we just keep hearing the same things on the news, and we wonder why.
Yeah, I think, Bruce, here's what happens. A situation like this, you got to see how they're doing the investigation. You don't publicly comment on ongoing investigations unless you are Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and James Comey. But generally, you don't. So here we go with Dave from Ohio. We'll try to get this call in. Dave, go ahead. You're on the air really quickly, please.
Okay. Thank you very much for your work. I followed you and supported you from pretty much the very beginning.
That's great. Thank you.
My question had to do partially with an earlier question. When, at what point, does the judicial system, our third arm of government, step in to referee, to officiate this mess, and make sure that the Constitution and appropriate rules are being applied.
So here's how it would work. I mean, it would probably take us bringing a cause of action, which we've discussed, and we're looking at all options are on the table as we look at these matters to determine whether we would proceed with judicial action, in other words, litigation. Nothing's off the table. Everything's on the table. We haven't made any decisions as to that yet. We're evaluating it. I'm sure we'll have more to evaluate in the days ahead. All right, Facebook and Periscope, if you have not seen it, or even if you have seen it, we're going to play you an encore presentation of the tune Heard It Through the Grapevine from our band. Share it with your friends right now. We had a great time with this, and we're thinking about putting this little kind of concert together. I think it'd be a lot of fun. So here we go. Take a listen. It's coming up in just about 20 seconds. And also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. We're in court in the U.S. District Court, Northern District of California today against Planned Parenthood. Your support of the ACLJ keeps us in court, keeps us on the air, keeps us engaged in these issues here in the United States and around the world. You can do that at ACLJ.org. Have a great weekend.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.